सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुरेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
श्लोक नंबर 18। Page number 40. Repeat after me.
Yada paratma atma vibheda bhedakam. Yada paratma atma vibheda bhedakam. Vijnanamatmanyavabhati bhaswaram. मात्मन्यवभाति भास्वरम् तदैव माया प्रविलीयतेञ्जसा तदैव माया प्रविलीयतेञ्जसा सकारकाकारणमात्मसंसृतेः सकारकाकारणमात्मसंसृतेः।
Lakshmana asks a very straightforward question. And what is the question that he asked? The question that he asked is Anjasa, that Yathanjasa Ajnana अपार वारिधिम सुखम तरिष्यामि तथानुषाधि माम। श्लोका नंबर 5 पेज नंबर 15 फर्स्ट डे वी कवर्ड इट।
यथांजसा अज्ञानम अपार वारिधिम अज्ञान द इग्नोरेंस हाउ इज इट अपार वारिधिम boundless, there is no limit to it. I need to cross across this sukham tarishyami so that I can abide in the highest blissful nature of my true self. Can you, O Lord, give me, show me the path, the quickest path, the easiest path? So Bhagavan seems to pick the words right from that question to answer Lakshmanji. He says, Maya praviliyate anjasa sakara karaka karanam atma samsritehe. Hey Lakshmana, it is this Maya because of which
which Maya are we talking about?
That Maya, because of which we assume that karma and jnana, karma and the final aspect of jnana, which is sukhaswarupa, blissful nature, can be combined. Meaning that happiness is the result of karma. Happiness being the result of karma is an illusion. And that illusion is created because of this Maya. Now, what is the definition of Maya? Ya, ma, sa, Maya. A very simple way to understand is that which exists but which we perceive not. That which exists not but we end up perceiving. Like what? The classic example without which no Vedanta class feels fulfilling. So let us make a twist here. Because anyway we have to touch that example, let us make it a little interesting by switching the example. It is not snake on the rope, but ropatvam snake apaditam. It happened once. I am not making this up. Haji? Main Goswami ji ki main apni baat kar raha hu. Oh, you are saying Goswami. Okay. अगर ये प्रवचन हिंदी में होता ना तो इमीडिएटली गा देता जाऊं कहां बताए थे. एनीवेज, सो वंस आई वाज इन माय बैकयार्ड वाटरिंग माय जैस्मिन प्लांट्स एंड इट वाज स्लाइटली ब्रीजी, सो आई थॉट दैट माय धोती एट द एंड गॉट वेट एंड इट वाज यू नो हिटिंग माय लेग्स एट द बॉटम. And I did not look down or pay attention to it. I was looking and paying more attention towards the plants. And as I noticed, the intensity with which my dhoti was hitting, or my assumption of dhoti hitting on my leg, started increasing. Then I pulled my dhoti up and looked down. It took me a while because there was this long something moving voluntarily and hitting onto my leg. And when it dawned into my head that, oh, this is snake and not a rope. While I was young, studying in the school, I used to participate actively in the sports section. And sometimes I had, you know, in the long jump. So we were taught how to jump forward. But that was the day when I learned I had the skill to jump backwards also. And as I jumped backwards, as I was jumping, that is when I realized, oh my God, that is snake. So many people say, oh, it must be a garden snake. How do I know? What I have done, do you think I have done research on snakes or what? But default I see a snake, the first thing that hits in my head is run. Yeah, because of the poison. So I jumped back. So I gathered myself, you know, got up. And then I got onto a higher pedestal. And poor thing was not moving. So, I don't know what happened. I was feeling sad now. So, I took out my cell phone. There are some apps wherein you click something and it will find what it is. So, I clicked on this and it came out to be a copperhead. Oh. And the details that were given, I'm like, okay, I'm lucky. It was not yadgatva nani vartante. It was not the final thing. So there was an assumption that it could be a rope. How many of you sitting here have touched a snake?
Oh, wow.
Not by choice.
Not by choice. Okay. Yeah, by choice later I now have touched at least about 40, 50 varieties. There are these people who come for the snake shows. They have all kinds of varieties. Even a constrictor boa, with big one. Almost about, you know, 12, 13 feet. Okay, those of you who have touched it, how does it feel? Okay, dry, cold,
scaly,
slippery, right. I call that slimy. Slippery, slimy. What else? Wiggly. If it starts moving, it has that wiggly movement. So you know the nature of snake. This is how it is. How is the rope? Rough, no movement, no life. It has got a distinct character of its own. For whatever reason, I perceive the immobile snake to be rope. And I bend down to pick it up. That's when it welcomes me with its hood up. And then I realize, this is not a rope, it is a snake. If it was a snake, why did I perceive it as? Because it was long, it was not moving, and from distance, the color, it almost seemed like. And in that ignorance of not perceiving, non-apprehension of its true nature, what I ended up perceiving was my own projection, misapprehension. If there was true apprehension of the nature of self, then there is no confusion. But absence of that, I start projecting my own whimsical patterns. And that is the impact of Maya. It's Praviliyate Maya. When will you easily get to that Sukha Swarupa? When you transcend this Maya. Now, how do you transcend this Maya? Yada Paratma Atma Vibheda Bhedakam Vijnanam Atmani Avabhati Bhaswaram. With the direct knowledge of oneness of Paramatma and Atma, Jiva and Ishvara, Aikya, you understand that it is one. What is one? That there is one consciousness. Please come. There is one consciousness alone. If it is one consciousness, why do I feel these kinds of differences? It's something like, there are various examples that can be taken. I'm going to explain a weird experience. Sometimes when you sleep in an awkward position and you move in your sleep, as you're moving in your sleep, due to the earlier awkward position that you have had of, you know, your sleeping posture, one part of your body must have gone sleeping. No, you were sleeping. No, one part of it, because of the non-circulation of blood, it went numb. And when you turned, it was your own body part which fell on you. The hand went numb and the hand falls on you. And then in that, half wake, half asleep kind of a state, You suddenly, you wake up. Only to find that it was not somebody else's hand, but it was your own hand. So what happened in that intermediary time, in that phase? The connection of that which is already connected felt as if was not a part of your body. More vivid is the experience for somebody who has gone through a stroke. There is something that happens up in the central processing unit, brain. And then that nerve ending splits or bursts or something happens. And that part which is connected to that. Usually the right thing goes off, then the left part of the body starts failing. If the left part goes off, the right part starts failing. It is there. But can you have any control over it? It seems like it is hanging in there. So then you go through physiotherapy, you do a lot of exercise, and then bring it back to health. Now what do you mean by bringing back to health? That which is already connected, you now perceive, feel, and experience the oneness with it. If it was already one, how did it happen that there are various reasons why it would have happened? So similarly, the oneness of this individual, that which is consciousness working through this individual, is the consciousness which is the substratum of this entire creation. So this businessman goes to meet Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi in Tiruvannamalai. Now Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi was a very simple person, very direct too. Man of very few words. So this businessman came, did his namaskar, chamatkar. And he said, I have heard a lot about you. So Ramana Maharshi looked at him with a simple look. Toh main kya karun? I have heard a lot about you. He says, so? I have heard that you give the experience of the ultimate, you know, moksha. Who am I to give? It is for you to choose. I can only show you the path, point you towards that path. So this businessman, I have been an accomplished businessman. I came here taking time off my business to spend time with you so that I can get realization. Please show me that Paramatma or that God principle quickly, because I have booked my train in the evening. So before that, I need to get that realization. So Bhagavan said, you are not prepared for it. You're not ready for it. So I said, what do you mean? I have spent my entire life in such great accomplishments. You don't even know me. And you have already disqualified. You have not even started. And you have not tested me. Even you have already disqualified. Try me. I need. So Bhagavan said, you're not ready, Baba. He took very personally. He felt that, you know, a chance that could have been his, it was not given to him. So Bhagavan then said, okay, fine, I'll show you God. Are you ready? So are you ready? God, here, right now. So this person said, okay. Yes! So Bhagavan lifted his hand, pointed, and then very slowly started moving that finger. So this person, like, you know, he started moving and then trying to find it. Where? What are you? Where is it?
For 5-6 minutes, he just kept showing. And I said, "Come on, stop playing with me. Show." So that this businessman said, Bhagwan said, again, did I not tell you that you are not ready? All that I am trying to do in utmost simplicity to show you God. And you are not able to perceive. What can I do? What kind of a trick is this? You just move your finger and then I have to believe that there is God there. What are you pointing at? So then Bhagavan tried explaining. He said, what you are seeing is the movement of my finger. But if I cut my finger and throw it down, do you think it will move? That because of which this finger is moving, that because of which this movement is happening, that life force, that life principle because of which all this moves is called God. And in that example, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi was speaking the essence of Kenopanishad. Because Kenopanishad, the very first mantra the student asks, Kene shitam patati preshitam manaha, Kena prana prathama praiti yuktaha, Kene shitam vacham imam vadanti, Kena, 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 Kena. And that's why the Upanishad is also called Kenopanishad. Because the Upanishad starts with the word Kena. Prompted by whom, supported by whom, does my speech function? Vacham imam vadanti. By whose support does my mind work? Antakkarana work. What is it that makes sure that all these are functional and interactive? Each one of them. So the answer is, that spark of life, because of whose presence all these organs of perception, action, mind, intellect, memory and everything functions seamlessly. That consciousness, that illumining consciousness is the one because of whose presence all these things function. That illumination, that illuminator is God. Did you all understand? Because in Keno Upanishad also, Guru asks the same question. Did you understand? And the Guru must have had, you know, a huge group of students. Many of them said, yeah, that was a straight shot. Got it. Bingo. So, Guru said, go study again. If you say that you have understood it not. So there were some of them who did not answer. They said, good, I did not understand. if you say that those who have not understood it have understood it not, then maybe the opposite answer will please you. We have understood it not. I said, you go do more tapas. Those who have understood, do tapas. Those who have not understood, do tapas. What exactly is your point? Because this conscious principle is not a concept of about which we have to be understanding. So this consciousness whose nature is of bliss cannot be a feeling. Cannot be a thought, cannot be a concept, an idea. First of all, let's go to the basics. Why do we have to care for this so-called consciousness or happiness or bliss?
It is not that the scriptures are forcing you to come into this path aiming for bliss or consciousness. Inherently, every single individual, knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously, is searching for that truth alone, that joy or happiness alone. Two questions and it will be clear. Why do you work wherever you work? Why do you put that effort? Isn't it aiming for happiness? So I was trying to explain this to a Balvihar group of kids. And they said, but this fellow, he constantly is the one who gives lot of misery to the entire class. So the other kid who was sitting next to him said, probably because that gives him happiness. Inherently, we are all searching for that happiness alone. Why are we searching for happiness? Okay, before I step to why are we searching for happiness, another question. Let us look at the corollary, then it will make it very clear. Have you ever consciously worked for, aimed for, intended for being miserable? I have been in this field for about 22 years now. In these 22 years, I am yet to come across that individual who says, Swamiji, pray for me. I have made a master plan to be miserable. Bless me. Have you ever put an effort to be miserable? Consciously or unconsciously? There is this, some of the smart alecks. Yes. So what? Studies? I don't want to study, but my parents force me to study. It's a source of misery. So I'm consciously doing it. What else can be an example? Even that studies which you are doing it at the behest or the force of someone else, you are doing it so that they can be off your back and you can be happy. We have never aimed, we have never worked for being miserable. Though unintendedly we may end up there. And with various efforts. In fact, to be miserable, we don't need a plan. We are quite effortlessly masters at it. We reach there anyways. So one thing is understood. Everyone universally is aiming for, looking for, searching for happiness. Now the next question to ask is, why are we looking for happiness? Maybe it is our default setting to be miserable. Let us be content being miserable. How are you? And you ask people this question, they'll come up with such amazing answers. I think I can do a PhD on that. Thesis just on the question, how are you? I've very rarely come across people who would say that, how are you? Great! Awesome! The best! On the top of the world! Zenith! Have you ever come across such people? Rarely. I won't say I've never. Very rarely. There are some people who have heard this lecture, they'll come back and say, how are you? Awesome. Don't give it just for the sake of answer. Otherwise, what is the answer that any language? How are you? Getting along. moving on. And there are some answers which I have a caricature mind, so I have cartoons that I draw about. How are you? Hanging in there. Translated into Hindi? Latak raha hoon. Can you imagine the pathetic... How are you? Hanging in there. How are you? Pulling along. Hindi translation? Ghasit raha hoon. Khinch raha hoon is a very benign word. Ghasit raha hoon. I feel like I could run faster than this, but with all these things happening, that you know, I'm just pulling myself. Ask in any language. Gujarati ma. You are the first example. Gujarati ma. Kem cho? The general answer that comes across is chale che. And that too with that kind of a sunken feeling. Chale che. Kaise ho bhaiya? Chal raha hai. Chale che, the same thing. Theek hai, chal raha hai. Kya kidira? Nadita ide. Chal raha hai. Epdi irkel? Parvala, it's okay. Any other language? The German. Oh, mane khabar na thi. She's testing me now. Any language. It's such painful when they say the answer. Because I'm searching for something, aiming for something, but where I'm ending up is not where I really want to be. Therefore, I feel really burnt, really ruptured from within. So what am I aiming? Happiness. Why am I aiming for happiness if it is not my default setting? To be miserable? Therefore, the scriptures come to the rescue there. They say that Paramatma or that conscious principle or Paramatma God has three natures. Nature of Paramatma can be put in three words. Therefore, Paramatma is also called Satchit Ananda. Sat, Chit and Ananda. Sat and Chit is a constant experience. And because of its consistent experience, we are not searching for Sat and Chit. The illusive aspect is that Ananda, therefore we are searching for it. Let me substantiate it with thorough logic. Sat and Chit. Sat means what? Existence. Chit means what? Consciousness. So will you answer four questions? Three, four questions? Simple questions. To understand whether I know Sat and Chit. First question. Do you exist? It's not a trick question. Simple question. Do you exist? Yes. Do you need a proof of your existence? No. To validate your existence? No. Do you exist? Wait a second. Huh. My ID card says yes. RFID, the chain or whatever that you take to your office. Or the morning you wake up. I don't know. Let me look into the mirror. Ha! I exist. I exist and I do not need proof of my existence. It is sad, but it is a very precarious condition. I came across this association back in India. And it is called Akhila Bharat Mrutak Sangh. ABMS. Akhila Bharat Mrutak Sangh. How does it translate in English? All Indian Association of Dead People. What? These are those people who are alive, but the federal or government agencies have declared them to be dead. So they're in that precarious condition wherein they apply for anything or they move anywhere, they are shown as dead people. I'm not talking of your zombies or anything. We are not talking of World War Z. They're not zombies. They are very much alive, but now they have to fight to prove that they are still existing. Other than that, the rest of us, do we need proof of existence to authorize that fact that I exist? I exist. So it takes us to the eternal question. That which even Socrates, Plato and everybody discussed about in their their debates. I am, therefore I think, or I think, therefore I am. So what would you say? Most of us would give the right answer because we are conditioned to say so. I am, therefore I think. Now what will happen if you come to a conclusion that I think, therefore I am? Because without thinking, how do you know that you are existing? Now if that logic be true, each one of us would be scared to sleep. Why? In deep sleep there is no thought. If it were true that I think, therefore I exist, what would be the logical conclusion? I stop thinking, I stop existing. And in deep sleep, there is no thinking process. Therefore, I'll be scared. Because that is my annihilation. So, I exist. I don't need proof of existence. It may look very silly question. Bear with me. But reply. Give me an answer. Do you know that you exist? Yes. Thank you. If somebody sitting next to you turns to you and says, do I? Something is wrong. I exist and I know that I exist. That knowing aspect of my own existence is the illumining or conscious being. I know that I exist. Because of these two being already my experience, I am not searching for it, and it's a universal truth. I am not searching for the conscious principle, I am not searching for the existential aspect. What am I searching for? Ananda Swarupa. The elusive Ananda Swarupa. Why am I not able to find that Ananda? If it is my nature, why am I not Ananda? While we were in the ashram, we had a play, you know, while studying. Ananda Ram, tu sada dukhi kyu? Somebody is named Ananda Ram and he is always constantly miserable. Where does he stay? On Ananda Marga. What is his house named? Ananda Nilaya. And what is his name? Ananda Ram. And what is his expression? Constantly miserable. Why? I'm like this only. If somebody is frustrated, you go ask them, why are you frustrated? I was made like this. What to do? You will make them more frustrated. If Ananda is my nature, why am I not Ananda? In pursuit of that happiness, that Ananda, I try becoming, I try everything that is available. Experimenting with it in all angles of length, breadth, height, width, depth. All dimensions. I try. If that element can give me happiness. It's like inside there is a lack, an absence. And I try the world of people. I try to put them inside. Is it full, do you feel that fulfillment inside? Only certain times. When they behave as I want. Do they behave as I want? Never. Not maybe. So this person knocked on the door. Sales representative. And he said, may I speak to the head of the family? So the person who opened the door, he said, can you come after half an hour? We both are discussing on that issue itself. I was watching this movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Okay, good. So in that movie, it'll feel very Indian. Very loud, very Indian ambience that you'll find in that movie. I was amazed to find that even the Greek have the same kind of loud culture. So there is an argument between the father and the daughter. And the father scolds that daughter. Which is also very typical in so she really gets sad. And the mother who is watching all this walks to the daughter as father storms his way out. The mother, you know, hugs the daughter and says, don't worry. He thinks he is the head of the family. And he is right. But only thing is, he keeps forgetting that I am the neck. And I can turn that stupid head any which direction I want. I heard that was the awesome Vedantic truth. Once I was mentioning in one of the congregations, this is a very elderly gentleman. After my lecture was done, he referred to this particular quotation of mine that I was referring to this movie. And he said, beta, you don't understand. That is where it hurts the most. Very pain in the neck. So the field of world of people we try to fill in to find that lack filled. And we are yet searching. That right person who can fill me from within. Other than the kids less than 18 who are sitting here, don't answer this question. This is for those who are 18 and up. Rest of you have been married? Yes, no, all right, some answer. Okay. Did you find your Mr. Right, Mrs. Right? Don't answer me. No, it is not a trick question. It is a question to ponder upon. For you to think about. World of people. World of objects. Try all different kinds of new gadgets, new clothing line, new, I don't know what not. If you don't know what to buy, you are right here. Go. And then another American word that I often have started loving is go knock yourself out. Go. World of objects. And how are these world of objects? It's so temporary, so fleeting, that not even the moment that you have obtained it, you find that bliss or joy. Already, last question. Why is it that when we hear such inspiring, thought-provoking environment, we feel that inspiration, we feel the urge to bring in change in our life? But as soon as we go back home, we go back to the square one. Why? It seems like we are charged, but by the time we reach home, it is discharged. Why? What happens? Man, you made my day. Thank you. Give me a high five later, okay? After the lecture. Traffic. Yeah. No, I have a better answer. Even before you hit the traffic, even before you get out, it is all in the shoes that you wear. The moment you wear your shoes, all the Vedanta that you have heard is gone. All the inspiration is gone. Only perspiration is left. Anxiety and tensions of this world is left. I have been searching for the right thing in wrong places. What we are searching for is the right thing. But as long as our efforts are not focused in the right direction, we will be disheartened, disappointed, constantly frustrated. Why? I have tried experimenting with everything and nothing seems to fulfill me from within. And sometimes you come into a Vedantic lecture or some kind of a satsang, and the satsang message that has been given, be satisfied with what you have. And it frustrates more. How can I be satisfied with the frustration? I am on the heights of frustration. I thought religion will give me an answer. Even religion is not having an answer. Because we are searching for the right thing in a wrong place. Now, as long as you are searching for the right thing in a wrong place, would we not be frustrated? We would be constantly frustrated. Okay, this is one layer. Now the second layer, let me make it more interesting. It's not that I'm making it and I'm taking the credit for making it interesting. Our life and patterns of how we do it make it interesting to analyze. So what is the second layer? The second layer is, we briefly discussed this yesterday. The attitude of constantly becoming, the identity crisis of becoming the body, mind and intellect. First off, we are searching in wrong places. What am I searching as? As a limited being of body, mind and intellect. And as these modifications happen, the iterations that end up happening in my interactions outside also keep changing. Therefore, our mind makes a perfect calculation. You know, this whole business of finding happiness is elusive. Therefore, do what? Find all those little things that you like. And as you perform these various actions, interactions and indulgence of things that you like, there are little joys that it generates. And at the bottom line, a culmination of all these joys is a feel-good factor. my life was not that bad. I have these little moments of joy that I had. That is where it comes down to conclusion. Now, why does this happen? Tadeva Maya. This is called Maya. Not understanding the technical depth of this word, people blame poor Adi Shankaracharyaji as Mayavadi. That whenever he is in a debate and he is cornered with various logic, he very cleanly escapes through that corner by one simple word that he drops. He says, Maya. And he runs away. Seems like it though. Why is this called Maya? That which exists not, but we perceive that it exists in that environment, in the world of people, in the world of things, in the world of circumstances, time, space and situation. That is where we tend to find that happiness. That which exists not, we perceive it to be existing there. Therefore, we want it through all these interactions. And when it does not come up to my expectation, what do I become? Frustrated. That which exists not, I perceive to exist. Therefore, I become frustrated. That which exists as my nature, but it seems to be very difficult. Therefore, I don't want to pursue that path. So we are caught in this catch 22. Have you read the book Catch 22? That is where it comes from, I believe. It's a very funny book to read through. And that's when you feel, my life is like that only. Catch 22. Very illusive. So, yada paramatma atma vibheda bhedakam vijnanam atmani avabhati bhaswaram. When that identification that I am that blissful nature happens, that I am that Satchidananda happens, this Maya and its influences and its modifications all are completely, once and for all, wiped out, cleaned out. Sakaraka karanam atma samsrutehe. Sakaraka, the various modifications. Karanam atma samsrutehe. And the cause for this transmigration constantly, samsruti. So Bhagavan Ramchandraji continues in the next shloka. He says, Shruti pramana bhivinashita chasa. Shruti pramana bhivinashita chasa. Katham bhavishyatyapi karyakarini. Vijnana matra damala dvitiyataha. Tasmada vidya napunar bhavishyati. Okay, let us take a consideration. Okay, if this Maya is destroyed once, what if she comes back again? I've been fooled once. What if I fall for it again? All the best. No, Bhagavan Ramchandraji gives us a hope. He says, once that Maya or Avidya Here Maya and Avidya are used as paryaya, synonyms. Once that Avidya is destroyed, how is it destroyed? Completely destroyed. Let us go back to that example, a snake and a rope. You have misidentified the rope to be a snake. You brought in a flashlight and you illumined the rope to your relief to find it was only a rope. This end of the rope, I am very sure, is rope. Maybe the other side is still snake. Can it happen? Very stupid assumption, right? How can you think about it? This side is rope, that side also will be rope. Thank you. Because your face expressions told me all that. What a stupid assumption. Huh? How can it be like that? Similarly, avidya, even if slightest is removed by vidya, it is removed once and for all everywhere. Does it make sense? Snake, I understood. This I did not. That's okay. Therefore, the Shruti says, either you are completely realized or you are completely in avidya. There are no stages of realization. I am on stage one realization. There are many people who come and there are within Hinduism and various other aspects as well. They say, I am now in the second stage of realization. Is it something like a spacecraft going up? First stage, you know, the things fall off. Second stage, another thing falls off. Either you are there, either you are wise, or you are otherwise. There are two distinct categories. There is no gray shade in between. Either it is jnana, vidya, or it is ajnana, avidya. Once that maya is destroyed, the modifications of that maya when it existed, can that threaten? What are the modifications? All the actions performed and their results. What will happen to them? So CIA, FBI, NSA. Name two more agencies, please. I'm running blank. Huh? What is it?
IRS. Environmental Protection Agency.
No. Something very potent. EPA seems very... toothless. Homeland Security. What did you say?
Secret police,
Homeland Security. Got my five agencies. All these five agencies, Interpol. Okay, that also. All these five, six agencies are searching for a world-renowned criminal, thug. Okay. And they have finally identified three different countries. Within those three different countries, five different hideouts. So what is the plan? Yes. A simultaneous raid. Right? So all hideouts are covered with all these agencies and they attack. They raid. And they all have a warrant issued. Finally, they burst open the door and get inside and they see this fellow sitting there. And they say, hands up. He's not moving. He's not responding. They realize that realizing that there was a simultaneity, he had a heart attack and he died. That thug which they were searching for, what an anticlimax. He's dead. Now what will happen to the warrant of that which was issued for that person who is now dead? Just because they have issued a warrant, should they catch somebody else and say, "Isko dal do andar." He's already dead. So the one who is already dead, for whom the warrant was issued, when that person itself is dead, the warrant is null and void. It stands useless. Right? Similarly, when the vidya and its modification, which is the ahankara, when vidya itself is dead, what happens to this ahankara? Ahankara is also eliminated. And the actions, good, bad, indifferent, whatever have been performed earlier, the phala of that actions, when that individual to whom that phala has to come is no more there. So what will happen to that phala? It's like the warrant. It stands null and void. Does it make sense? So maya, maya's impact, or avidya, avidya's impact is ahankara. Ahankara's expansion is kartrutva, bhoktrutva, doership, enjoyership. And that with the doership, enjoyership, we do it through the layers of likes and dislikes, vasanas. Vasana leads to karma, karma leads to tendencies, tendencies become likes and dislikes, and they become vasana, they again prompt you to action. How do you get out of this catch 22? Therefore, I ask you this question, right? The classic question. And people get so inspired when they go through that self-unfoldment book of Gurudev. They feel like they have nailed, they have demystified entire Vedanta. Because he very methodically goes through cause and effect. All the sum of the past is the result, resulting in this present moment. How you act, react, respond to this present moment becomes your future. So that is the cause, this is the effect, and the effect in turn also becomes the cause for the future, which is yet to happen. So what is that cause? This is vasanas, tendencies. Therefore we are propelled into action. Because of these actions, we perform with various wrong identifications. These actions lead into further vasana. Those vasanas further lead into actions. This cycle goes on and on and on. So then suddenly one day it clicks in that study group member. And you can see that defiance, the revolt and the glow that, you know, I've demystified this. Why? When you go all the way to that first creation, what was it? Was it karma or was it vasana? Because in my first life, when the creation started, if it is vasana, it doesn't fit the logic. If it is karma, it still doesn't fit logic. Therefore, this entire cause and effect does not work. This must be that 23rd, 24th chapter in self-unfoldment. You come across, it'll click in hard. And it becomes the frequently asked question. A very passionate question. अंडा पहले कि मुर्गी पहले? What was the first, chicken or the egg? So I pulled this fast one once. They didn't appreciate it. So they said, so tell me, chicken or egg, which is first? So I said, I'm a vegetarian, I don't understand both. And the kid was smart. He ran out. It was in a strip mall, so he ran out to the next grocery store. Got me a sample of egg. I said, there you go. You said you didn't know? This is the egg. So I said, okay, now my question, I understand your question. Answer is also easy. For this egg, the chicken is first. You want to trick me? I also trick you. Go. So how do you answer this now? Karma, vasana, karma, vasana. Well, neither karma nor vasana. They are shoots from the same root. And the root cause is ignorance, avidya, maya. Once that root cause is destroyed, there is no identity, there is no ahankara. Since there is no ahankara, all the modifications of the karma, vasana that exist, there is no more impact of it. Whatever has already started in that momentum continues as a prarabdha of the body. Rest all is wiped out clean. There is no more scope for further germination of karma or vasana. Do you all like roasted peanuts? If they are salted delicately, Amruto Vaisaha. It is like just an inch lower to that Brahmananda. Now when you roast the peanuts, all its nutritive value is still there, but its germinating value has been burnt. Similarly is the realized person in the body. The body still continues with that prarabdha but does not have any other influence of... I'm trying to not use those words. The technical words are sanchita and agami karma is destroyed. What is sanchita and agami? I've already explained it. Not in a technical terms. The maya is destroyed, ahankara is destroyed, all the modifications are also destroyed. Therefore, there is no recurrence of this maya ever to happen again, avidya to ever happen again. Is that clear? I'll take your word for it. I'll not push my luck further. If you say that you got it, I'll take it. Repeat the next shloka. Yadismanashta na punah prasuyate. Karta hamasyeti matih katham bhavet. Tasmat svatantra na kimapya pekshate. Vidya vimokshaya vibhati kevala. So Bhagavan is trying to wrap this thought up. What was the thought? Question is asked. What was the concept these 4 days that we were reading? Pata nahi. Whatever you spoke was good, but made no sense. Karma and jnana are two different paths. Only jnana can give happiness. Karma cannot give happiness. This was the thought. That is what is the extended or in-depth meaning of karmanyevadhikaraste maphaleshu kadachana. Karma we still have to perform. The anticipated result of every karma is happiness, and that you will never ever find. So he is trying to conclude that thought here. He says, yadisma nashta na punah prasuyate kartaham asyeti mathik katam bhavet. If avidya or maya is already destroyed and all its modifications are destroyed, where is there a doership to continue? Therefore, the karma, the karta, is already destroyed. So there is no karma happening. Karya may still happen through, but there is no karma happening. I was browsing through your library. There was a book titled, I just read few pages. The book title was, Get to the Quietitude, Get to that Silence, and the wind starts playing music. You become silent and the wind starts playing the music. I think it happens through you seamlessly. There's karya happening, but there is no kartrutva, bhoktrutva, abhimani. Therefore, there is no ego existing. Therefore, he is tasmat. Therefore, now when he is trying to conclude, therefore, don't ask me wherefore. We have spent 4.5 days for that purpose. Therefore, svatantra na kimapyapekshate. Jnana is standing all by itself, assuring liberation. Karma and kartrutva are destroyed by this jnana. Therefore, jnana is, or the ananda is not the result of karma. Vidya vimokshaya vibhati kevala. Only jnana can remove avidya, and that alone can guarantee paramananda. And Bhagavan is not saying, you know, he's just because I say so. Many times about Hinduism, when we ask questions, at least I got 3 or 4 classic answers. I put them into classic answer section. Mom, Dad, why do we do this? Whatever it was. Why do we do arati in a clockwise direction, not counterclockwise? If it is just illumining the Lord in that sanctum sanctorum, why not do the clockwise direction with a flashlight? Why only with a lamp? If your children have not asked this question, I am raking it up. Go figure the answers. When we do the circumambulation, pradakshina in a temple, why do we do it clockwise? Why not counterclockwise? There are lots of such questions. So when I asked my parents, first classic answer, you will know it when you grow up. And I got really in a bad situation. Topspinned heavily. Because I ended up asking, now you have grown up. Do you understand? How dare you? In our times, we never ask such questions. You grow up, you will understand. First answer. Second answer. Even if I tell you, you won't understand. Leave it. Second classic answer. Third classic answer. Paap lagega. Why do you ask such questions? You are incurring sin. threat. And the final one is the most hilarious one. When nothing of these three worked and you are still persisting for the answer, why are you wasting your time into this? Go study! Done. A final seal into all inquisitive inquiry in understanding anything that we do. Do all the kids here agree? No comment? Man, if I ever launch a political party, I can have you as a spokesman. It's a very politically right answer. No comments. So even Bhagwan, when he has said all these things, he cannot say that why this whole logic that you have given. Are you sure? What are you saying? I say so, therefore it must be right. He cannot say that. Even Bhagwan as an avatar has to refer to that Shruti as a Pramana, Shabda Pramana. Therefore, we find, even in Bhagavad Gita, the entire Kathopanishad, Bhagavan Krishna must have done control X, control V. Cut and paste. Verbatim. He has just picked the entire Kathopanishad and put it into Bhagavad Gita. Various spots. So one of our Swamiji with a funny angle to look at, he says, Bhagwan Krishna, when he was young, got into the habit of stealing butter. So when he got into the battlefield, he had nothing else to steal, so he stole from Kathopanishad. Now the point is, he was referring to authenticate his statement that it is also given in the scriptures. Thereby leading the rest of us to that Shruti. Now Ramchandraji is not here. Bhagavan Krishna is not here. Shruti is still continuing. That which is referred by Bhagavan himself from the Shruti is still standing here to guide. Therefore he covers in the 21st sloka, he says, and he is very specific what he is saying. He says, Sataitariya Shrutiraha Sadaram. Sataitariya Shrutiraha Sadaram. Nyasam Prashasta Khila Karmanam Sphutam. Yeta vyaditya hacha vajinam shrutihi. Vajinam shrutihi. Jnanam vimokshaya cha. Jnanam vimokshaya na karma sadhanam. Sa. Taittiriya Shrutihi Aha Sadaram. So the Taittiriya Shruti is also talking about this emphatically. Now what is that mantra? I have already referred to that mantra. Nakarmanana prajayadhanena tyagenaike amritatvamanashuhu Parena nakannihi tanguhayam vibhrajate yadyatayo vishanti. Where do you find it? Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaha. How do you get it? Sanyasa yoga dyataya shuddha sattvaha. A very systematically beautiful mantra that is. Many places you will find this mantra also as Purna Kumbha Mantra. That is not the only purpose of that mantra. That you have a kalasha in your hand, so therefore you chant this mantra. Na karmana na prajayadhanena tyagena eke neither by wealth nor by progeny nor by karma you will find that happiness or bliss. You will find it only through tyaga. Tyaga, renunciation of all these attachments. This is one meaning, a subtler meaning. Tyagena eke, by renouncing that one. Which one? That one which is the ego, ahankara. By renouncing that, amrutatva manashuhu, you will reach, you will attain immortality or that blissful state. How do I track this path? Vedanta vijnana sunischita arthaha. Jnana is a textbook knowledge, bookish knowledge, intellectual knowledge. When I was back in India, you know, I make sure that I drive there. Because after having gotten to the comfort zone here, I miss there. It will create a confusion in driving. So I make sure that I go there and practice the driving there. I don't leave it. So when I was driving the car, and there was a four-year-old whose father's car I had borrowed. And like any boy, you know, he also loves his cars. I'll also come. Sat in the front seat. Man, he was such a riot. Riot because I've heard about backseat driving. He was like constantly. Now, clutch. Now, put it into second gear. Now, you know, brake. Now put it into neutral. So I said, why don't you drive? And that also he had very good clarity. He said, I don't have the height yet. Once I have it, you will not get the chance to drive it. Now you have the chance, so please use it. 4-year-old. He had the knowledge, but he does not have the practical application of it. There is jnana, then there is vijnana. Vijnana, experiential knowledge. To all those out there who know how to cook, I mean, not decent cook, I don't think Maggi and macaroni are called cooking. That is called surviving. Bahar jao. Salad? Khargosh khana. Okay, I'll include that also from next time. Macaroni, Maggi and salad are not called cooking. Salad can be called chopping. Those who know cooking. So salad matlab inko khana nahi banana aata. How was your first roti chapati made? How was it?
Shaped like a rhino.
Oh. So it can be amoeba. Some shapeless form. And not just that it is a shapeless form. However long you have tried it, the roti becomes papad. And papad becomes roti. Papad becomes soggy and soft. And roti becomes hard. And you don't know when to flip it. Therefore it becomes, see, in cooking, I love cooking. So along with the snake and rope, cooking example has to be there in. So cooking, my siddhanta or my principle is, caramelization of things gives taste and beauty to the food. You cross that threshold of caramelization, it becomes carbonized. Carbonization spoils it. So the first roti that you know you made was shapeless, tasteless, carbonized toxic waste. Over a period. Now, the shape of your roti, chapati, totia, whatever you call it, is round. And evenly roasted. Evenly thick. Yes, first thing. And then you put it on the frying pan and it pops up as a puri on the pan without oil. Wonders of wonders. And that you put it in your mouth without a bite, melts. A good roti. How did you reach to this end? That jnana, through practice, has become experiential vijnana. What is vijnana? Anubhava jnana vijnana. Experienced knowledge. It's not bookish anymore. So here he is saying that in that mantra that he is referring, he is saying Vedanta vijnana sunischita arthaha. How do I know the path? It is given by the vijnana of the scriptures, Vedanta. How do I reach there? What is the sadhana? Sannyasa yogat yatayaha shuddha sattvaha. So what is the prerequisite? Shuddha manasaha. Sattvic from inside. Sattvic, focused and intentionally pure. Shuddha sattvaha. They renounce that one, that ego. Now sannyasa here does not mean this color. Sannyasa here means sampurna nyasa, completely giving that ego up. They attain, so says Taittiriya Shruti. Vajinam Shruti hicha. Vajina Shruti is Brihad Aranyaka. In that Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad, there is a dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Maitri. So don't assume that this knowledge was never given to women. That women were not allowed into this path. Women were also given a great status in understanding and applying this in their knowledge. And there is a dialogue, and Maitri was running a Gurukula. She challenges Yajnavalkya, and Yajnavalkya also gives the same thing. He says that jnanam vimokshaya na karma sadhana. Only jnana will give liberation, karma will keep binding you. Is this part understood? Therefore, what is the purpose of jnana? To understand tat tvam asi. That I am that supreme. That we will see as a continuation of this next time I come here. And because it is left in between, I promise to come soon. When? I don't know yet. But definitely, the next portion of Tattvamasi is much intense a topic to understand. So far it was just karma and jnana and its vishleshana, its analysis. So I thank Raghuji and the entire team of volunteers of Atlanta CM.
for organizing this. It was a great inspired event. I could see almost everybody who participates here with such enthusiasm. I would pray both to Gurudev and that Almighty, that may that enthusiasm inspire each one, so that that jnana which is talked about becomes your vijnana in this very life, your own experiential knowledge in this very life. So, thank you again. Let us conclude with Shanti Patha. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Two words about Guru Dakshina. Many times the organizing, not that here it is, organizers feel little uncomfortable. How do we explain Guru Dakshina? It's a simple concept that the belief of the rishis was vidya or knowledge should not be sold at some cost. Because when vidya and vitta, the money, are combined, justice to knowledge gets corrupted. Therefore, the idea was, in the ancient times, the guru teaches, the sishya who learns this goes into his world, applies this what he has learnt, gains a firm ground, and then realizes the awesomeness of this knowledge that has been given, thus comes back to patronize and support that Gurukula which has helped, that is in Guru Dakshina. And when he comes back to support, asks the guru, what do you need? Do you need a roof? Do you need a floor? Or do you need a food in between? What can be supplied? And thus the patron supports by supplying it. This was the system of Guru Dakshina, to give it back to the guru. Earlier, the system was so seamless that it was not necessary to train and teach the grihastha to give. It became a natural thing. Now, when it is seen as a gap, Gurudev taught us that it is okay to teach them and then take. This is one reason. Second, somebody asked me, is this some kind of fees? See, I may be wearing ochre, but that doesn't make me a lousy businessman. If I were to run this as a fee structure, then I've made sure that before you enter those gates, you paid for it and entered. Therefore, it is not a fee structure. It is whatever you can afford. If you think this knowledge has reached across and touched in any way, so whatever you can afford to support this cause, you can bring out. Now, the last reason. Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa do not have the right to earn, because Brahmacharis have to focus in studies. Vanaprastha have to focus in their Upasana and Vedanta Shravana. They're retired. And a Sannyasi has to focus on Paramatma Chintana. So for the entire society, who is the one who has the right to earn? The grihastha. And it is our right, the brahmachari, sannyasi, right to ask. Bhikshan Dehi. So I'm doing my bit. You better give now. You have to fulfill your responsibility too. Again, to put it across in a most efficient way, this is one place wherein whatever comes goes into the cause of what is being claimed without a overhead expense. That you understand in this country, right? Overhead cost. There is zero overhead. So whatever you give goes back in serving you better. So you support us, we support you back more efficiently. Therefore, Shraddhaya Deyam, give with Shraddha. I don't have that Shraddha. Ashraddhaya Api Deyam. Because it has to be taught to the Grihastha. Now give. You get the message. Thank you. Raghuji. Do you need a mic?